Hello and welcome to CICK News. CICK News is your local and regional news coverage provided by me, Pamela Hassan, and Dan Messick for Smithers Community Radio. This news program is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada, and our aim is to provide local coverage on stories that affect the lives of Northerners like you.
The village of Burns Lake is facing a similar obstacle to meeting the healthcare needs of their residents as the rest of the province: finding the staff to do it. They offer a primary care clinic in the Lakes District Hospital, which helps people without a family doctor, but with an aging population, with a majority of adults 65 years or older, according to the 2021 census, their residents require more healthcare and their doctors are retiring fast. The village council and staff acknowledged this statistic by following the footsteps of Quinnell's advocacy work to attract and retain medical professionals to their community. Listen to my conversation with Burns Lake Councillor Charlie Rensby to learn what Burns Lake is doing to address their healthcare worker shortage.
My name is Councillor Charlie Rensby from the Village of Burns Lake.
Councillor Rensby, we're speaking about a committee that you are the chair of, and it's the Recruitment and Retention of Medical Professionals Committee. Can you tell me who makes up that committee?
From the village, there is myself and Councillor Daryl Hill. From the Regional District Area E, there is Director Clint Lambert. And from Area B Regional District, there is Director Reese Christensen. And from Northern Health, there is the Health Services Administrator, Lisa Puglis.
What's the function of this committee?
The overall function is somewhat in the name. It's to attract and to retain medical professionals that we get coming to town. Just like every other community, really across most of the country, there is a major struggle for recruiting the medical professionals we need to support our community. And so we've taken a more of an out-of-the-box approach to trying to accomplish that for our people.
How is this out of the box?
First and foremost, a lot of what we're doing is modeled off of what Quinnell has really started. What makes it out of the box is that the communities are really starting to take a leading role on this, whereas normally it's been Northern Health and then the communities helping on the side.
In 2020, the city of Quinnell submitted a request for proposal to the Cariboo Chilcotin Regional Hospital District, or CCRHD, for funding to address pinch points such as housing and social integration for medical professionals new to Quinnell. With the awarded funding, the city rents a furnished two-bedroom, two-bathroom apartment and a budget for a healthcare recruitment coordinator, which Burns Lake will also be doing.
We certainly are doing the marketing of our communities with recreation components and tourism components. But another big piece of it is what it's like to be a part of a small community. Our communities are always very welcoming, but sometimes it takes a bit of effort and time to really get integrated into the community and be a part of it. We have such a tight-knit community that really supports each other and volunteers for each other and whatnot. So we can market the community to get the doctors to come to town, but we really need to help them integrate into the community to get them to feel fully welcome and comfortable here. So some of the things that we're doing is we're looking at essentially rolling out giving a red carpet treatment. When someone comes to town, we're going to be hiring a coordinator. And what this coordinator will do is help set up everything for the medical professional, make sure that their spouse is gainfully employed, ensure that there's housing provided, and also bring them to different community events, introduce them to the who's who in the community, and try and lead them to be a part of the social structure of the community and really integrate into it. What we're going to be working to develop is either purchasing or building a home specifically for medical professionals that come to the community so that they can have a not necessarily subsidized, but a controlled rent, something that isn't, if a pipeline project comes through, the rent isn't going to all of a sudden become ridiculously priced out of their finances.
For sure. Councillor Rensby, you did mention the unique benefits for medical professionals. And so for people who are looking for access to nature and beautiful landscapes, it seems like a no-brainer. But what are some of those unique challenges that you're learning about?
First and foremost, every other community is also trying to do something similar in some way, shape, or form. Every community is desperate for healthcare workers. So it's a whole bunch of people saying, me, pick me. So small communities, we really take care of each other. And we can be very welcoming to outsiders. But for people to truly get integrated into the community, go to different community events, we need someone there to make the introductions, bring them along, show them who's who, and really assist with the integration part. Because medical professionals, when they come to the town, they're working all the time. It's really hard for someone who's working all the time to then take their small piece of time, free time they have, to then put themselves out there and try and make friends. So yeah, it would really help them feel welcome. Another thing that we're trying to do is we're trying to develop metrics. As different medical professionals have come and gone over the years, it's we get them here, we're excited, they leave, darn, that's no good, we'll have to try harder. But something that we're going to start doing is really doing entrance and exit interviews or surveys to try and figure out what their experience is while they're here, what issues or gaps they're finding, and then try and find ways to fill those gaps. So it's a living situation that is constantly evolving. As different medical professionals come in, we will try and assist them with their needs. We'll see where we're falling short, and then we'll make up for those shortfalls. It's going to take time to really get it to working top notch. But once we get through the growing pains, I really feel that it will be effective in bringing people to our community. So our needs are very great, but we also have a lot more to offer because of that. We have more recreation, more small communities, more groups to be a part of. We also are really unique because we have two First Nations that are within municipal boundaries and another four nations in the surrounding areas. I think that we really also have an advantage in our ability to partner with our Indigenous partners and with Indigenous Health as well as Northern Health in that. I truly see this as the way forward. And I really thank my colleagues in Quesnel for beating this plan out, because we've basically taken Quesnel's plan and curtailed it to us.
Much of the social and administrative aspects of the healthcare recruitment coordinator's position is to not only predict and enable an easy transition for doctors, nurses, and specialists who come to Burns Lake, but to also include metrics and even exit surveys for healthcare workers who have worked in Burns Lake for a time.
So the Northern Health, the regional districts, and the village of Burns Lake, we've all put funding towards hiring a coordinator. And this person's full-time job will be to help integrate people into the community as well as attracting them. So we'll also be going to the different medical colleges and schools to try and get students right off the bat, right out of school, as well as going to different conferences and health centers to try and recruit maybe more experienced older medical professionals as well. We're essentially, there is nothing that we are too proud or afraid of doing to try and encourage medical professionals to come here and to stay here. And that's primarily what that coordinator's job is going to be.
Is that a future goal, or do you have someone in place already?
We actually don't have anyone in place right now. I highly encourage people within the Lake District community to look at it. If you're a community champion, it is the perfect job for you, because I truly believe that Burns Lake, and I know I'm a little impartial here, but I truly believe Burns Lake is one of the most amazing communities on the face of this planet. And we need people with that sort of attitude to really show off the good parts of Burns Lake.
Yeah. There's another group called the Northern Interior Regional Development, which is run by Northern Health, that takes a regional look at the recruitment of medical professionals to the north. The village of Burns Lake, however, is taking a more community perspective through their own committee. But Councillor Rensby wanted to acknowledge their work in leading this charge to create a template for them to work off of.
Unfortunately, we've had a number of doctors retire from the community in the past couple of years. So right now the focus is very much on doctors, on trying to find family doctors to come and take care of our community. But the sky's the limit. We are also looking for nurses, because those are starting to become like hen's teeth. Also specialists. Burns Lake Hospital is very underutilized, because we can't find the professional staff to staff all the components of it. We have a full-fledged operating room in our hospital, but it doesn't get used because we don't have the professionals here to do anesthetic or surgeries. We have a primary care clinic in the hospital, and that we do have a few doctors there that are currently seeing patients. Lake Bebe Nation, they do work directly with Indigenous Health Authority.
Thank you so much.
You betcha. Thank you for the interest. I there's one thing that I love doing. It's selling my community and the different things that we're doing. It's one of my passions. So I love talking about it.
Yeah, it's evident too. It's really nice.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. And now on to my colleague Dan Messick's visit to Lex Ray Jones about Hudson Bay Mountain's upcoming ski season.
My name is Lex Ray Jones. I'm the general manager of Hudson Bay Mountain, and we are sitting in our downtown office on Main Street.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on with Hudson Bay Mountain and what do you guys got planned for opening day this year?
Sure, yeah. So we have our scheduled opening date for December 7th, but weather permitting, we're going to try and open our tea bars, so the Panorama and Prairie tea bars, on November 30th and December 1st. The stoke is really high, the vibe in town, and we just want to get people up there.
Nice. You've been doing this a long time. I was thinking back, I think it was maybe 2011, somewhere in there, that I think I first met you and Chrissy and all those others that were running the show back when. And I was reminiscing about this, that there's so much that goes on up on the hill throughout the season. And now we've obviously seen things evolve. What's your favorite part of the ski season and doing this work?
I love the entire thing. Pre-season is a lot of fun, though, just getting all of our ducks in a row, getting everything ready to go up there. The staff start showing up in town, people who are new to the country, new to the town, and they are just so excited to be here. Everybody gets together, and it's just like we get our community together again.
So what are you doing right now to get the hill ready to go? I also saw a picture that there was a track. A track packer up there. Looks like things are shaping up pretty well.
We're fully hired for staff, which is really nice. And now it's just our frontline staff start next week and we start getting into training. The cat has been out track packing, so that's pushing down the snow in places that are like high traffic areas. We had Kim, our patrol and safety manager, shout out to Kim. She was up there today and her and Alvin and Will did a little bit of skiing around, just going to check out the runs, see what shape they're in and get a list going. If we are able to do that preseason bonus weekend, what runs we can have open for that. And the guys are just working away, getting the cats in tip-top shape. We have the silver one ready to go. We're doing a full hydrostatic overhaul on the yellow ones. They're working away on that. We're plowing because it's been snowing. Just the list goes on and on.
What's the experience that you hear from these folks? It's one thing to go and ski there, and there's a whole other culture that kind of happens up there with the village. But there's also the folks that work at the ski hill and run the ski hill, like yourself. What's the culture and what's the reaction from people that come here that have worked at other places and they come here from the east or from down south or wherever else? What's the reaction when they show up here?
So it's funny that you would say that because I have a perfect example of this. Georgia, my admin and base one, she just went out to the airport last week to pick up one of our lift operators who had just flown in, and he is from Australia. And it was a bluebird day, and he was speechless when he walked out, and he was just like, what is this? And Georgia looked at him and pointed at the ski hill and said, that's your office. And then the culture up on the mountain, we work really hard for a culture of team and safety. And customer service. Those are like our three main things. Safety obviously is a huge thing. I like to say the entire mountain is a hazard. And so you just really have to be careful. Everybody wears a lot of hats. You work really closely together. People end up, they recreate together. Some people end up living together. They hang out together. And we really need to work very closely as a team and customer service because we would not be here without the guests.
What are some of the major kind of highlights that people can expect or events that people can expect coming this year?
Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot of our standard events that we do every year. Obviously, opening day on December 7th. We've got our pass holder appreciation day on December 8th. Then we go into Christmas on the Mountain for Christmas break. We've got our community weekends. So that's where we welcome different communities to come here. We've got live music on the Saturdays of those weekends. We've got our Never Ever Days, Family Day Weekend, Kids Camps, Juice Boomer, Schnee Day, just a lot of stuff. And then Chris, our social media and events guy, is working away on setting up some other fun things to happen throughout the season as well.
Cool. Very cool. Just the last thing for you, Lex. We're just about to kick off this season. As I mentioned, you've been doing this a while. What kind of keeps you going and what do you always look forward to around this time of year?
I love this place. I have put my blood, sweat, and tears into this place, and I love it. And like I said before, it keeps me on my toes. Every day is interesting, and you get to provide this exceptional experience for people. And being outside in the wintertime, it's so key. I had this conversation the other day where I feel like seasonal affective disorder affects people more than they realize, like myself included. And you have to be able to work to combat that and being outside and being active, whether it's skiing or snowboarding or snowmobiling or bundling up and going for a walk. You have to learn to appreciate the winter time. And I think all of that, seeing the team, making sure that they're having a great winter, seeing the guests up there who love skiing and snowboarding and are having a great time, all of that keeps me going. And I love it. I love every part of it.
Sage advice. Yeah. Thanks, Lex, and good luck with the season.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Home to 1,600 vertical feet of powder, Shames Mountain is located 35 kilometers west of Terrace in the Shames Valley amidst the Coast Mountain Range. Established in the early 1990s, Shames Mountain has 28 cut runs, along with an abundance of natural glades. I spoke to General Manager of Shames Mountain, Christian Taberge, to celebrate their approaching opening day and a youth skiing and snowboarding program unique in all of Canada, available only at Shames. Christian, I want to actually start with, how are you guys all feeling about the predicted snowfall for this year?
We're certainly hoping that precipitation is still in the works, just in the form of snow instead of the rain that we got last season. The forecasts are much better for this winter. And if karma has anything to do with it, I think we deserve a better winter.
For your sake, I certainly hope karma has something to do with it. When is opening day for Shames this year?
The lifts start spinning on December 7th for us. Snow pending, of course, but our uphill ski season started November 1st. So as of November 1st, the ski hill has been open to uphill skiing, people walking up to ski down.
Yeah, I actually saw that on your Facebook page. Has there been quite a bit of traffic for that?
Oh, absolutely. On the weekends, there was easily a few hundred people that came through. And on the passing weekend, that is. And a weekday, we have 10 cars in the parking lot, easy. So it's something that's been growing since the pandemic and steadily growing. It's really a lovely program we have.
Very cool. Hey, speaking about lovely programs, I was reading a little bit about E360 Solutions. Can you tell myself and our listeners about that?
Yeah, so E360 Solutions is the local waste collection and recycling company here in Terrace, BC. It's a fairly large company that has outfits all over Canada. And they agreed to sponsor our program to have kids ski for free this year. So we are the first ski hill in Canada to offer unlimited free skiing to all kids 12 and under. Everybody's looking for a catch. There is none. You can show up and grab a ticket if you're under 12 at any time. If you're a parent coming, of course, you'll be paying, but feel free to bring as many kids as you want with you. We know very much that children are our future and that life has not gotten any cheaper for families. So by being able to offer free skiing to kids, we give a break to all the families around here and anyone who comes to visit us. And we also hope that we plant the seed to create new skiers and snowboarders for the future.
Thanks again for tuning in to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at skinastrong.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks again to our producer, Pam Hassan, and all of our roving reporters. I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.